Today's show is brought to you by our new sponsor, Cog Network. Cog Network, geared for gain.
Cog Network is hedge fund investing evolved.
By owning Cog Network tokens, you get exposure to the hedge fund's gains. The hedge fund is comprised of algorithmically traded commodity futures and investment in hard assets related to energy. The first hard asset is partial ownership of a multi-million dollar solar farm that has a crypto mining operation attached.
I mean, this is really something that both traditional and crypto investors can come together and participate in. So for traditional investors, they can get exposure to cutting-edge blockchain technology in a framework that they're familiar with, a hedge fund, right? And crypto investors can get exposure to an actual security that bears dividends and includes non-crypto assets.
So that's super cool. And just for full disclosure, Cog Network is a fully registered and regulated entity qualified by the SEC as a Reg D as well as a Reg S and has a 506C exemption. They've been working with lawmakers since 2017 to get this idea built out in a fully compliant way.
Crypt Nation, if you guys are interested in learning more about a tokenized hedge fund, go visit www.cog.network.
What's up, everybody out there in Crypt Nation? Pizza Mind here, rolling solo today. Don't worry, Bryce is fine. He does not have the coronavirus. Not that we have tests available to find out anyway. He's actually out on assignment at the moment. So I have the honor and pleasure of speaking with Jack Tao, the founder of Femex, about futures trading, derivatives, and a lot of really interesting stuff. So I'm actually happy to do this episode solo because there's so many questions that I have that Bryce would kind of just get in the way, if you know what I mean. But I'm going to be happy to have him back next episode. But for now, Jack, welcome to Crypto 101.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. First off, let's talk about who you are and what you were doing before you founded Femex. Give Crypt Nation a brief overview of your background.
I'm a enthusiast of blockchain and the Bitcoin before, and I worked for Morgan Stanley for 11 years. So last year in summer, so my partners and I decided to open our own shop, which is the Derivative Crypto Exchange.
Fantastic. So what important life lessons did you learn from your time at Morgan Stanley?
Well, that's quite a lot. You know, it's a long journey in Morgan Stanley. I think it definitely make me to be a better person. It's how to learn the teamwork, how to run a business, how to run a global team. So I was the global dev leader in one of the equity trading team. And, you know, it's a lot of things. Most important thing is like how to be a good engineer. Like in financial world, where you're developing a software, it's not just a software, right? It had to be fully compliant and it had to be accurate. It had to be fully tested. You cannot make mistakes because there's real money trading in those systems. And I joined Morgan Stanley in 2008 as a financial crisis. And you know, it's that changed the whole industry, and lots companies have put a lot of investment to improve their system to be more compliant, and the process of developing a software become much restricted and harder. And the most important lessons I learned is that repetition is very important in this industry.
That's great words of wisdom there. Repetition, sticking to your strategy. Now, you mentioned you joined there in 2008. We're recording this episode towards the end of March here in 2020. What similarities and differences are you seeing in the economic landscape right now?
It's definitely very similar maybe to many years ago in financial world. And it's no much regulations, and there's a lot of people rush to those this industry because you can do a lot of things. And for crypto, it's, some people describe it as a wild west world, right? And it is true in terms of that It's there's no regulation and very thin regulation actually, and people have a lot of innovation ideas. We clearly can see that innovation ideas can run this business, and it's the main drive for this industry. Lots of problems cannot be solved in the traditional world. We can see there's a good solutions in cryptos.
Well said. So due to a variety of factors, not just the coronavirus, the greed and fear index, it hit its most fearful rating ever this past week. Last week sometime, on a scale of 0 to 100, 0 being the most fearful, 100 being the most greedy, we were at a three. From where you sit, will the traditional financial institutions and governments figure this out just like they did in 2008? Or is society really going to finally collapse? What do you think is going to happen?
I think it's kind of a human nature. It's, personally, I'm not surprised. Everyone's feared. Look at the news, right? So I told my family, don't look at news. It's just to make your move. It's a ruin your day. And this is really sad. And the coronavirus has huge impact to economy. And Q1 is totally destroyed, I think, at least in China. And it definitely impacted Q2 in North America and the rest of the world. And there's no guarantee this is going to be better soon. And this reaction is totally makes sense to me, I think. But on the other side, that we have to believe that we will go through this. Right, we will go through this, we have to prepare for the volatility and the risk for your 401k and for your crypto investment. Right, there's a Twitter kind of joke, and he said that now 401k is just like your face, don't touch it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I see that I don't worry that the society is gonna collapse. Personally, we have a lot of friends that they actually got the virus, and they're still very calm, work as normal, and they just stay away from crowd and drink more waters, and to not make the symptom worse, not to affect other friends or families. And I think a well-educated person and as the government and a lot of governments keep putting on resource to solve this problem, things will definitely get better and better. But 2020, this year is a very dramatic year. And, maybe we haven't seen the worst yet. So I don't know. We have to be cautious and get prepared. That's what I think.
Yeah, definitely. Now, over here in the United States, we're just now starting to take measures to take this thing seriously. You're over in Singapore, and you guys were pretty much the second country hit, or the third country right after China and Japan. How's life returning to normal after a couple months over there?
Well, at the beginning, people rush to the supermarket, grab whatever they can, and there's a lot of YouTube video, Twitter post those things, and a week later, 2 weeks later, and this had the supermarket a symptom happened to everywhere. So now it's everything cool down. I think people used to that, and they understand that panic won't solve the problem, right? And it's a time to cooperate with each other and follow the government instructions. And so let things, people just accept the facts and the life back to normal, I would say.
Wow. Well, that's very, very hopeful for the rest of us. We just got to suck it up for a couple months, and then hopefully we'll be just fine too. Let's move on back to crypto and stuff. One of the things we've really been watching is how Bitcoin follows the stock market. And we're wondering, is Bitcoin really affected by these macroeconomic events? Because before all this happened, there's this big debate is, oh, is the Bitcoin having priced in? Are we already there? Are we going to see a pump? Are we not? But is like Bitcoin's open 24/7. It never gets sick. There's no business that shuts down. There's no supply chain. There's no overhead for Bitcoin. I mean, is it really affected by these other events going on in the world, or will it just do its own thing?
Yeah, it's it's really hard to say. It's a decentralized world, and even exchange, we sometimes don't know, but we do expect the volatility. And you know, when those things, coronavirus happened, and the entire world is panic, people want cash. You know, people want cash, and they want to cash out from their investment. That's one reason I can think of. The other reason is, you know, more and more institutional investors or trading system connect to cryptos. A lot of big companies, big high frequency companies, as I know, that they may have a modeling to have signals to the traditional markets, especially for the stock markets. They may create some synergy between these two worlds that to create more volatility and activities on trading. So the third thing is that people will always worry about there's maybe a whale sitting behind to control the price of the cryptos. I don't know. You know, that's there's no proof on that, but it could be the panic sale. So maybe one person sell a chunk of Bitcoin, and there are lots of like machine learning or robots trading follow the trends and make it worse and worse, and it causes a chain factor. So that's the third reason, not the will, but the use of there's lots of API users, right? They program their trading system, and they maybe have some chain factor and the negative impact on the price.
That's great insight. I didn't even think about all the different machine learning bots that compile onto things. But I think you're right. I think that is a big part of it. And related to that are the market makers, maybe not necessarily a single whale, but market makers that are there to provide liquidity to different exchanges. Is there a point either in the SLA, the service level agreements with these guys, where they can just opt out, take their ball, go home, and just let everything free fall on its own?
It's different. So market makers, they have a contract. Some market makers have a contract with exchange, and so they can have better fees, and they have some responsibilities. Were signed with the exchange to say so. For example, that they have to make one trade amount one minute, right? They have to be they have to post their trade within the like five bips spread, so that to make sure that they are providing the liquid, they deserve their rebates and those kind of things. And when the market goes down, market is it's very common. They have to retreat. They maybe retreat even deeper to protect themselves. And in some extreme case, what do we see that almost 2 weeks ago, that market makes act they did provide a lot of liquidities, and I would say they kind of like catching the falling knives to give as many support as they could to the markets. And some smaller ones, they already maximize their positions, and some take loss, but some can hold on to it, can effectively hedge if they could, they can survive. So it's very complicated. So
yeah, definitely. I was just hoping, you know, we're not at a point where they're taking so much loss that they just don't want to be in the game for a while.
Yeah, market makers usually like when it's a panic sell, why they are the buyers, right? Right. It's one of the responsibility, and especially if for smarter, for sophisticated marketing makers, if they catch the falling ball at the right price, they're actually making money.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, it's good to know that they're making money in any situation, so they're not just going to get out of the game. I think that's what I was most concerned about. But let's talk about Femex specifically now and your futures trading. A lot of our users have never tried it. A lot of our listeners maybe never heard of it. At a high level, what is futures trading compared to just buying and selling crypto?
Yeah, it's very similar to the traditional market. You have the spot market that basically you buy specific stocks, Apple, Tesla, stocks. You own a piece of part of the company, and that's usually what we call a spot market. Usually in traditional market, the future market, or what we call the derivatives market, is usually like 100 times bigger than the spot market. And with the derivatives market, is not just the future. It has OTC markets, and it has a lot more. And those markets provide retail institutional clients different ways to manage a risk and catch opportunities. And then the same in the for the future markets, that we're not actually sell or buy cryptos, right? So we basically buy the contracts, provide a platform to people to bid on the price, which is the index price collecting from multiple different spot markets. So if you think that Bitcoin price is going up, you can easily buy it in contract and hopefully that the price goes up in your favor. And if you think the price goes down, right? If you like in short term or long term, you think the price goes down, you can sell. So it's very easy to buy as well as to sell in the derivatives market. But for the spot market, it's easy to buy, but not to sell. So we would like to see that with the success of future markets, it will make the price more stable, and because there are more and more people easy to sell, so we won't see that it's become harder and harder for people to manipulate the market, because the market become bigger and bigger, right? You have previously you only have the spot market, and you maybe have a little more money, you can impact some coins, but in the future, because the leverage and to able to manipulate the market, you need more capitals.
Interesting. Okay, that makes sense. So let's define a few terms that are kind of unique to futures that people might have not ever seen on their normal exchange. What is the difference between an index price and a mark price?
So index price is basically that we get a snapshot every second from different exchanges. And those exchanges, they're usually spot market. And the average, let's say, to make it simple, the average price is our index price, right? And so for the derivative exchange, that for Femex, we don't control the index price. That's the Coinbase. We get the Coinbase coin, get its price from Binance, and their price actually impact the index price. So it's out of our control. And the mark price is kind of is derived from the index price. Right. So when people trading in exchange, the order book, the ask price and the bid price may not be exactly as the index price. It could trade it in a premium, which means the ask price and bid price is beyond the index price. It could trade in a discount because many more people want to sell. Right. So to reduce the gap between the index price and the exchange price, right? So there's a mechanism called funding and the funding rate. What does it mean is the funding rate actually, so during a period and the more people want to buy And at the end, the funding rate will be positive, and the people has to pay additional funding fees from buyer to seller. So then, because this is this kind of a punishment, and it's more likely to have people to sell to reduce the price, reduce the price to make it more closer to the index price, right? So mark price actually is basically index price multiplied by a funding rate factor. And that's a fair price to tell users what's a fair price traded in the exchange.
Do you have a friend who's interested in getting into cryptocurrency, but they don't know where to start building their portfolio? Well, we have the answer. It's called CopyTrader by eToro. With CopyTrader, you can automatically copy every trade of eToro's top crypto traders, just like myself or Bryce or Kevin, at the exact price point and in real time. No need to study up on markets or develop your own strategies. Simply just sign up and copy our trades. Any profits that we make, you do too. Proportional to your investment, of course. With eToro, you get access to the world's most popular cryptocurrencies with transparent trading fees all in one easy-to-use app. Copy the smart money with eToro. Join now at eToro.com/crypto101. Thank you.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. What is an underlying asset?
The underlying asset, so right now we have... it's based on the each contract, like our BTC contract. Underlying assets is the Bitcoin index, and we have Ethereum, XRP, XTZ. They all based on those individual index as well. And we have one more product called Gold USD, and that underlying is the gold index we get from some different data source.
Okay, that makes sense. What is leverage?
Oh, leverage. Leverage basically is a tool. And so you can, it reduce the capital requirement for investors to be able to invest a bigger portfolio that they could, that they couldn't compared to the spot market. It's so you would have if you used like for example 2x leverage, right? Basically, you only need to pay half of the initial margin, right? If you want to buy like you worth $100 contracts and use 2x leverage, so you're about to only pay like $50. So it can maximize your capital usage. But also that you have to think about the risk, right? When the price goes up and you get double the profits, but when the price goes down, you probably get also double the damage.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, and then the last definition I'd like you to explain is liquidation. Speaking of damage, what is liquidation?
So liquidation is because you're using the leverage, and at some point that your initial margin, you entertain that unrealized P&L, like a profit and a loss, right? When you have when you're taking a loss, and you cannot keep up your maintenance margin. So for example, you may pay 1% as your initial margin, and you have to at least keep 0.5% for your maintenance margin. If you keep losing the money, it cannot maintain the maintenance margin, and the liquidation triggers. Liquidation basically it will take all your initial margin out of your balance, and there's a liquidation engine will try to sell all your positions on the market.
Gotcha. So you will see in the news from time to time about there being crazy liquidations, and you'll see that in instances like this morning when Bitcoin went up $700 in 20 minutes, you're mm-hmm. going to see a lot of people getting liquidated. And what that essentially means is their bets went the wrong way, and it went so far the wrong way they didn't have enough to cover it, and they lost all their money. So that is the other danger of futures compared to spot. You know, if you're spot trading Bitcoin and you have Bitcoin, no matter what the price is, you still have that amount of Bitcoin. Doesn't matter. But in futures, you could actually lose everything. So very, very important to realize that when you're trading futures and using leverage. So that is the main difference. But no guts, no glory.
So when people trade derivatives, they have to be equipped some knowledge and some basic studies. And for example, we have cross margin and isolated margin. So if you use isolated margin, right, you won't be like you won't lose everything, because it's you only allocate a certain amount of money to open some positions. And if that's getting liquidated, it's only impact that initial margin that you have pre-allocated, right? But it's not impact the rest of the money in your pocket. But if you use cross margin, that's different. Cross margin that may give you more tolerance, because the entire portfolio, your entire capital is protecting that position. They give you more leeways based on when market goes up or down or against you. But if that liquidity happened, all your money will be liquidated. So people, when you trading those cryptos, you have to understand your risk tolerance and how much money you're willing to invest and what's the risk you want to take.
We see all kinds of scam wicks and market manipulation on BitMEX and Binance all the time. People trading opposite the retail and really just trying to take their money away if they're a little over leveraged. Are there any safeguards on Femex that protects their users?
So one is that you have to invite more and more the liquidity provider, not just one, right? So for example, if in exchange that you only have one market maker, and you know each market maker, as we explained before, that each market maker has limited capital, right? And when they accumulate the huge position, and they have their risk. So they have the intensive to trade against a user, to manipulate the market in some ways. But you know, for exchange side, as we mentioned, that the market price is we call it a dual pricing mechanism, is kind of for protecting users. So the market price is basically driven from index price, which is not controlled by any market makers, right? Because that price is from the other exchange. And if the price has a huge difference, and the funding fee will punish the people to push the price, right? And eventually encourage everyone to make the market price be around with the index price, right? So market price, what we call the market price, right? That's the market price to trigger the liquidation, right? Not the last price. So last price, you can either to manipulate, right? If current price is, index price is 100, and the last price could be 50, could be like only half or be 150, right? So market maker can control that, but they cannot control the market price. The market price will still be around the 100. So when people's liquidation price is based on the market price and triggered by the market price, so those order book manipulation will not trigger the liquidation as people wanted. So that's already protecting the customers for this.
That's great advice. Yeah, definitely make sure you're using mark price on your stop losses for sure. And then the last question I have regarding to that is, what kind of people are allowed to trade futures? Do you need any special kind of licenses or be in any specific regions of the world in order to use your platform?
We're open to most of the world, and we do ban like mainland China, and we follow the local rules, and we actively talk to the Singapore government. They are more friendly to crypto exchanges and to get more license to open more business in this area.
Very cool. All right, well, we're going to wrap things up here in just a couple more questions. These are the questions we ask every guest that comes on the show. It's always interesting because people have so many different answers. Mm-hmm. Who's one person you admire in the crypto space?
Satoshi-san.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's the safest way to admire in the crypto world, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do. That's his white paper that made me truly understand the blockchain. And I still remember the moment I finished that paper. I was like, wow, this is really, really cool. I haven't seen this kind of thing in my life, you know. And that's why I devote myself into this new industry. And if that could happen, I really want to meet him or her.
Who knows what's possible?
Yeah.
What is one company besides yours that you think is going to have the greatest impact in the crypto space?
That's hard to say. It's really so this industry changes really fast, and some companies very good 1 or 2 years ago may not that good, look good these days. So I really like Coinbase and Binance. So Coinbase was my first exchange. I purchased my first Ether on Coinbase. They're doing a very good job. They provide a lot of service, but their fee like is crazy to retail users.
Yeah, it is.
you know, they have to follow a lot of regulations in North America that's kind of restricted their business to expand to the global markets. But at least they provide an entry point for lots of crypto users who are without Coinbase, like most people don't have the way to purchase any cryptos, right? That's why exchange is so important. And Binance is doing very good. And we know a lot of friends and a lot of team members from Morgan Stanley. We know each other and we keep a very good relationship, and they provide lot of different services, right? They have spot markets, they have the future markets, they have margin, they have wallets. So they kind of spread them out to do almost everything they can. And they give a lot of positive impact to attitude to this industry, give a lot of people lots of belief. They are doing a very good job.
I agree. I very agree that both those companies are doing tremendous things to push crypto forward. And lastly, if this is the first podcast someone just getting into this space had heard, what would you want them to know?
So the blockchain and the cryptos. So fiat currency is not the only thing. And lots of like a legacy financial problem, there's a potential solution in the crypto world. And I think that a lot of people keep saying that Bitcoin becomes zero and never happened and will never ever happen. And I think that technology and innovation could provide a better solution than just enforce regulations.
Well said. Jack, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us the down low on futures markets and also telling us, just what's going on over there in Singapore and giving the rest of us here in North America and Europe a ray of hope for the near future. We look forward to having you on the show again. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Aaron.